Good morning. Wow, Annette owns that song, doesn't she? I mean, you know, that's like precious, beautiful. Thank you, Annette, and the band. Well, it's awfully good to be here with you this morning. We had actually booked Pastor Manny Harrison to come to speak with us. And then I got a telephone call, and Pastor Love gets called. He's up in Delaware this morning. Anyway, so Pastor Manny's in Havre de Grace, and I got the sneaking suspicion that I'll get a call, a couple of calls afterwards. And I said, Pastor Manny was phenomenal. We're going to the Philippines. Which would not be a bad thing at all. Amen. Father, thank you for this morning and really just to be gathered here and the life that we have and is the life that we give. And we thank you for this precious body and the ministry that we've all been called to. Bless us in the Word of God this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The theme, I guess, is it pertains to the feet. Is that right? At least that's what I was told. Feet, hands, eyes, all about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. Well, I want us to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to a place, and that's what he does in the Word of God. And it really is amazing because for some, they can read the Bible, and it is simply a narrative of what has happened. But for us, reading the Word of God is being led by the Holy Spirit into the reality of what actually did historically take place, presently takes place, and will take place. It is absolutely the most incredible kind of relationship that a believer can have. Allowing the Word of God to speak to us and speak to us each personally. That's a miracle. It is an amazing miracle. And I think this is why, you know, Jesus Christ, if you were to find him, you'd find him in the temple. And what was he doing there? Every day he was teaching. Every day. Wow. And it was the communication of the mind of Christ and the will of God every day that, interestingly, if you think about it, didn't produce immediate fruit. Because when the Lord finally got to the cross, there was just, even the disciples had fled by that point in time. But then we get over into Acts and we find 3,000 getting saved in a day. Peter just like stands up, opens his mouth, and something happens. But, you know, you'd have to say, well, was it Peter? Well, no, it was this incredible, I say, sowing, investing, teaching, and then the Holy Spirit brought it together as an explosion in 3,000 people's hearts. And they got changed, and they weren't going back. And this is the expectation that we can have, because, you know, it's not that we want to hear something that maybe directly addresses my present tense circumstances. Like, I need to hear something, God, from you because I'm under financial pressure, or I've got sickness in my family, or there's difficulties that I'm facing. Now, that's true, and God will do that, but it's so much more than that, isn't it? And it's so that we would have a relationship with the Word of God, not based on crisis, but based on a relationship. And that relationship, as we're going to see, is a walk. It is a walk. And I love what Oswald Chambers recently said. He said, walking is not spectacular. But walking, actually, and walking is not something that one does in the immediate. Meaning it's just not, I just go from here to there and there to there. But walking really speaks of going the distance, speaks of endurance. And it's an amazing thing because he goes on to say that, you know, if my experience with Jesus Christ is based upon like, Matthew 17, you know, Mount of Transfiguration experience, and then I want another kind of thrilling experience. It says that relationship, you know, is not what God wants, but that we would walk with him. So there's the feet. The feet are something amazing. But where did the Lord's feet go? We're going to see that in just a minute. But if you turn with me in the Word of God to Psalm 22, I'm going to set a premise here, and then we'll have an adventure in the Word. You ready for an adventure?
Yes.
Yeah. So am I, so here we go. In Psalm 22, and this is the often disclosed as the Messianic Psalm because it describes so precisely what was happening at Calvary. And in verse 16, it says that they pierced my hands and they pierced my feet. It's very interesting to kind of think of Calvary, which for us, it is the power of God. It is a manifestation of God being in absolute, total, and complete weakness, and yet at that same moment displaying absolute, incredible power. And it's only the Word of God that gives us the insight in this. So I want you to think about this. The feet of Jesus Christ. And to think that those feet had to walk that road, that way, the Via Dolorosa, the narrow way. And back, it had to have been maybe 20 years ago, we were there with Pastor Stevens. And it's such a narrow place. And to think that there were people thronged in this narrow arena, and the Lord is walking past bearing his cross. Those feet were going to a destination. That destination was the cross, so that those feet would be nailed. And I want us to think about this because the crucifixion wasn't done in a corner somewhere. God in his eternal wisdom would have the crucifixion and the cross to be a blazing, obvious demonstration of what the best of humanity could do to the greatest gift that God would give, his Son. Think of that. That what we could do in our humanness, in our humanity, was to crucify the very gift that God had offered us. That's what we were capable of doing. And so these feet would get nailed. And in John 19:37, it says, "And they looked on the one whom they had pierced." And I want us to picture now, with the Holy Spirit help, those feet nailed to a cross, nailed in a specific place, unable to move. Unable to move. And one of the things that the cross reveals is permanency. We understand it as what Jesus Christ said in 19:30 of John. He finished it. That there was a permanent fixture, a permanent manifestation of what God would have accomplished for man, as a man, having now, yes, his hands and even the crown and the spear in the side and all those things mean something very significant to us, but we're just going to talk about these feet and how that there they were pierced and there they were nailed and there they could no longer move. They could no longer walk. They were fixed. In Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 23, and 25. This is interesting as it pertains to looking forward to Calvary. He says, In that day, said the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in a sure place be removed. Now, this is talking about post-Calvary. But listen to what verse 23 says. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Jesus Christ, and in his relationship, what did the Father see on the cross? He saw his Son nailed in a sure place. Sure place because that was where he was going to then be saddled with all of the sins of the human race, past, present, and future. That the burden of sin, the burden of our humanity, was now going to be placed upon the precious Son of Jesus Christ, and he was going to be placed there, pierced there, nailed there, and not to be moved until that work was finished. That penalty was paid. And the Father says, that is a glorious manifestation to me. Why? Because it's going to satisfy my absolute justice completely forever. My justice is going to demand that sin be paid for, and now I am seeing the very one who could pay it, who willingly walked. You see, the thing about the feet of Jesus Christ is that he didn't get railroaded to Calvary. He walked there. His feet was going to get him there by his own choice in the matter, in obedience to the Father. But then he goes on to say that nail that is fastened in a sure place, pointing to Calvary, will be removed, be cut down, and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. The burden of our sins shall what? Be cut off, meaning finished. Finished. That means I cannot I don't need to go back and recall or remind anything of my past, anything related to the old nature, because there is a permanent fixed place where God has manifested what he did about my past, what he did about our sins, and what he did about everything. And I look to Calvary and I declare there was a glorious work that was accomplished in my behalf. And there I don't have to do anything because those feet that walked there willingly were nailed there to bear the burden, and now it's finished. Then he says this, well, the nails that were placed in the Lord Jesus' feet and hands, the piercing of the side, you know, this glorified body that he has glorified scars. I don't understand it. I don't, you know, like, what is that? But the disciples had to understand that. Let's take a look at this because I think it's so interesting. When Jesus Christ in John chapter 20, turn there, would you please? I want you to see this. We have our dear friend, Mr. Thomas. And I call him Mr. Doubting Thomas is not a very good term to leave on that man's life, you know. So, you know, you're going to see him in heaven. And you say, who are you? Well, I'm Thomas. Oh, you mean Doubting Thomas. We need to be a little more kind. Because the reality of it is that we're like him. Okay. So here it is. Thomas didn't make the first resurrection service. He gets the report from all the disciples. We have seen the Lord. Now, he knows that they weren't making that up. They weren't living in some kind of grand delusion that all of them were participating. But it's interesting, he yet was without faith. And so, in verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." I will not. And I think that's very interesting. Because it's much more than the fact that, as the narrative goes on, that Thomas, you know, was told by Jesus Christ, "Well, you know, Thomas, you believe because now you see. Blessed are those that believe without seeing," and that's true. But I think there's something that's very incredible in this, in as much as that what Thomas got from the disciples was a testimony. Now, this comes up again when Jesus Christ went to the well. And he met the Samaritan woman there, and she went back and she said, "I have met a man that has told me everything. Come and see." Well, the town came to see, and then it says this, it's very interesting. They said, "We are not believing because of your testimony, but we're believing because we have heard and seen him for ourselves." Now, I think of how many times people have heard things, testimonies, and yet they don't believe. And it's not because they're refusing to believe, but because I think it's the fact that the issue here, as it would be with Thomas, is that he needed to see the finished work scars in a glorified body that told him it was finished and declared complete in the person of Jesus Christ. And that finished work message is the only message that's going to see, because in this country we have heard the gospel repeatedly and again and again and again, radio, television, printed page, and you know, we find people who just don't believe because they're thinking in some terms of a religious response. Oh, I heard, you know, I got a cousin. I always get tickled by somebody who says, "Yeah, you know, my uncle's a preacher." I said, "You know, he might be there and you may not, so let's start right there." Because they want to, you know, just say that they've heard something. They heard it from someone. Testimony. But here's a manifestation that is amazing. And it's the same manifestation that reveals, like it did before, that the burden has been finished and removed. The nail has been. See, so what Thomas was going to find out was not nails, but nail prints. In the glorified body, he would see the manifestation, what already has been accomplished. And this is how we glorify Jesus Christ. We're going to see how this works practically in our lives. So 8 days later, the disciples were then there. Jesus came to him and he said to them, "Reach in your finger and touch where I have been pierced." It's pretty amazing. Reach in and touch that which has been nailed in a sure place and cowed for you. Thomas's only response was, "My Lord and my God." Like, that's it. Not how did it happen, when did it happen, but a revelation that it has happened. And we have an exalted Christ. I want you to see something here. Very often, we want to do what we want to do. We want to walk where we want to walk. But if we are disciples, we are going to walk in the same steps as Jesus Christ had walked in, which means that our steps also will take us personally to a personal cross, where we identify with his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. But notice this, would you? Because it's interesting that Peter says this as it relates to us. And he talks about how when you were young in John chapter 21 and verse 18, when you were young, how many young people we got in here? You, every hand should have gone up. And you're not lying. Just depends on what you reference. But he says it like this. He says, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked anywhere that you wanted to go. All right? And this is our mindset. You know, I want to go here. I want to do this. Then we bring that into the kingdom. And when as young believers, we, you know, I could remember, he said, well, you know, we want to do this for God. We want to do that for God. I was talking to a young man that he's going to be a great disciple. He's just after God. And he's so excited about, you know, how God could use him. And, you know, Pastor, I could go over to here and I could go into the hospitals and pray for people and lay my hands on them. And I said, time out. Well, time out. Because that's the principle of doing what you would and what I would the way I would want to do it and when I want to do it. You remember the story of the two sons, that the father came to the first son and he said, son, would you go on the field and work today? What did he say? He said, nope. Not going to do it. Then what happened? He repented and went. Second son, would you go into the field and work today? What did he say? Yes, sir. Yeah, you can count on me, Dad, just every 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Did he go? No. Now, the first set of feet refused to go. And then they went. And this is what's so beautiful. Because you know what? It's not wrong to say no to God. It's not wrong that if I get in a place where like, God, I don't feel like doing that. You know what that's an indication of? That I'm on the right road to grow. That I'm on the right road to grow, because those feet that don't, you know, that just want to go the way that I want to go will have to grow in maturity. And this maturity is an amazing privilege of progressive sanctification, actually being set apart more and more in the plan of God. Because the second son said yes out of duty or whatever the case may be. Maybe he just wanted to impress his dad, but he never went. He never got there. And many times people say, well, you know, I don't want to be disobedient. So I'll say yes, but I don't really want to go. I'll say yes. You know, so somebody says, well, you know, you should forgive that person. Yeah, I will. And they never do. They never do. Or the first person could say, I don't want to forgive them. And then the Holy Spirit begins to go to work. And he says, you know, think of this, you know, you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. And as he has forgiven you, forgive that person. See, I even have a biblical basis which to forgive, not just my will, not just my will. Then it goes on to say this. But when I get old, then something happens. It says that thou you should stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not go. How did you get where you are? More than likely, kicking and screaming. More than likely saying, I don't want to do that. No, no, God, please, I don't want to do that. That's okay, right? Because look at you now. Look at where you are now. You are where, in essence, not where you thought you would want to be, not where you think you would like to be, but you are where God would have you to be, and that's the result of growth. That's the result of just us growing now as we're growing. And here's a great example of this. In Genesis chapter 17, here we have Abraham. He's got Ishmael. How did Ishmael get on the scene? Oh, that was plan B. That was like how, you know, I can do something, God. I can do something, you know, to help the plan out. And, you know, even Sarah endorses that, you know, so we're in agreement for that. But the interesting thing is this. While Ishmael was growing up, and by the way, he had reached the point of where he would become the man of the house. The bat mitzvah was going to happen. He had reached that age. And in Genesis 17:1, we find God breaking in on Abraham. We don't have any account of Abraham repenting or Abraham saying, I did it my way, that was the wrong way, and I didn't want to do it that way. But what we do have is that God steps into Abraham's life, like he does ours. And he says to Abraham, now, walk before me and be mature. It says perfect in the King James, but what does it mean? It says, be who I have made you already to be. Because see, I'm going to repeat the promise that I made to you, Abraham, but I made it before Ishmael was ever on the scene. And here's the beautiful thing about promises that cannot be undone. If God has given a promise, it is yes and amen to the glory of God. And there can be all kinds of things that can come and happen in the midst of our lives that seem to derail. And so we could say, Abraham, you have walked away from the will of God and you have ended up with an Ishmael. Congratulations. Job well done. But that didn't stop the promise, did it? And so when God said to Abraham, now, and I love the word now, because that's what it means, right now. Doesn't mean that I got to figure it out, analyze it, evaluate it, try to consider how it could be. Why, God, would you want to have anything to do with me after all the things that I've done wrong? No, God says, now, walk. And he says, walk before me. Don't walk before your problems. Don't walk before your personality makeup. Don't walk before your past. Just walk before me. And see, it's rather unspectacular, isn't it? Walking. But it is beautiful feet. It is beautiful feet. Because those feet are now what it says in the Psalms, that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he delights in his way. The man that allows the word of God to direct his steps is a man that's not perfect. He's growing. He is growing and he's becoming more stable. One of the things I read recently about walking it is that it's the most stable means of transportation. You could hop, you could skip. You know, you can run, you know, but you can walk further than you can run. You can run and get there faster, but not further. And I think we all understand that this is a walk and not a sprint. I'm not going to hurry up and try to get something done in my life. God, if you do it today, I'll serve you forever. No. It is like, I'm going to walk today, going to walk tomorrow, going to walk next week, going to walk next month, going to walk next year. And it's very interesting because we've said this before, but Christianity is very simple. Follow God. It's just not easy. Because that means I got to follow him today. I got to follow him tomorrow. I got to follow him next week. You mean, what are we going to do next month, Jesus? Follow me. When I get to be 65? Follow me. But aren't I supposed to retire? No, see, too late. I've already bound you up, and now I'm going to take you where you would not want to go. Because you thought, whatever you thought, So our steps, I love 119 verse 133 in the Psalms. Order my steps in your word. God, like, that can happen? Yeah, right, because of sanctified feet. Because of feet that have been pierced. Feet that have gone to a cross. And I'm to follow after that. I'm to follow in the way of the cross. And so Luke 9, 23 through 27, I'm a disciple of a cross. It says, you know, every day I want to identify with what Christ has done in my life and for my life. I see the nail prints, but they don't contain a nail. They're glorified prints. Speaking of a glorified Christ, speaking of a glorified salvation, speaking of a glorified acceptance, that I'm accepted now, not on the basis of my walk, but his walk, because his walk got him to the cross for me. Then I want to close with this. The result, how beautiful in Isaiah 52, verse 7, upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publisheth peace, that brings good tidings of good salvation. And this is quoted very beautiful, and I love when it's quoted in Romans 10, 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. When our feet are like the feet of Christ. Yesterday we were knocking on a door and a woman came and she stepped outside to speak to us because she had, I don't know how many dogs, and we could hear the dogs barking. But she stepped outside to talk to us. And as we were speaking, we noticed a sign on the door and said, no smoking, oxygen in use. So we simply asked the question, you know, is it you or is it someone in your house? And she said, it's my husband. And he has respiratory problems. He's had respiratory problems for 20 years. And she's talking to us and we're talking with her and we said, you know, the great thing is that we've been led to your door today. She said, what do you mean? She says, well, we just want to present to you Jesus Christ. And in so doing, she went to proceed to bow her head, and we said, let's pray together. Now, watch this. This was amazing. The prayer of salvation, we led her in, and then we said, and God, would you release the burden that she bears, having felt guilty about not wanting to care for her husband? And she broke just like that. It was like a word for her. It was an amazing word for her. Because here it was, and then she said, I didn't want to feel that way. But I would wake up and feel resentful that I've got to care for this man, but he's my husband. But I'm feeling that way. And we said, you know what? That feeling has been nailed to a cross. That feeling has been crucified so that you don't have to live there, but you can live in the glorious resurrection of a new relationship that you just now received by grace. And I thought, like, that's such great news. Like, I got saved over again. I mean, it was like, it was so rich and so, and this is why we have these kind of feet. These kind of feet go into Baltimore, into downtown. These kind of feet go into all the world to preach the gospel. These are the kind of feet that leave the comfortability of our social norm and standard. And we go to places where language is different, culture is different, food is different, but the gospel is true. That's what these feet can do because we follow the feet of Jesus Christ. And so it is amazing, these beautiful feet. and how they led to a place where they were nailed in a sure place, so that the declaration of what his body was there on the cross for could never be removed from our experience and from our life. And we come and say, like the first son, I may not be so willing, but then something happens and I go. And when I go, I'm revealing something. These precious feet, they have the gospel of peace to be spoken to every man. And this is why God has precious feet crucified for us. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, and if you're here today and you've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior, it is because his precious feet went to Calvary for you. And there he presented his body as a sacrifice to bear the burden of sin and shame. If you never trusted in Jesus Christ and religion, religion will not save you, but a right relationship will. With every head this bowed and every eye this closed, if you're here in this chapel and you want to place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and like Thomas, maybe you doubted on a number of different things, heard a lot of testimony, but now there was a revelation of a risen Christ, and you're saying yes to him right now, right here. Put your hand up, would you? Anyone here this morning, just, I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior. Just lift your hand right where you are. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Is there another this morning? I want to receive Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a second one there. Thank you so much. Free gift of eternal life is yours. Just receive that packet from that worker and that'll be fine. Father, thank you. Thank you for this precious morning. Thank you for all that we have been given by grace through faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.